you know, when we're pressed for a fact, a nugget of information, a verification, or some clarification around here, wisdom is just 4 digits away.
Library, may we help you?
That's Key Maleski, NPR's heralded research librarian in our studio, not at the other end of a phone. And, of course, an author in her own right. As who put that key?
John Lennon.
That's right.
He wasn't talking about me, though.
No, about his own collection of poetry, right?
Yes.
Glad you're back here. Thanks for being with us, Key.
Thank you.
Now, April 14th, most years, is a day a lot of people stay up late to work on their taxes. This year, though, it marks the 150th anniversary of the first man who was killed in the U.S. Civil War. First shots were fired at Fort Sumter, South Carolina. Give us a quick primer, if you could.
Federal troops under command of Major Robert Anderson surrendered to Confederate General P.G.T. Beauregard after an artillery bombardment that had begun on April 12th. Nobody was killed during the engagement on either side. But as the Union soldiers lowered their flag and honored it with a 100-gun salute as they prepared to evacuate the fort, there was a premature discharge of the cannon, a huge explosion, and Private Daniel Howe of the 1st U.S. Artillery was killed. Not technically a battle death, true, but the first man killed in the war between the states.
Now, of course, all Americans have a personal interest in the Civil War that made us the country that we are. You have a particular personal interest, don't you?
I do. I have a connection to this story. My great-great-grandfather, Patrick Murphy, was part of that Fort Sumter garrison. He was a musician, a member of the band, and had been stationed there in Charleston for several years. He married, started his family, and Daniel Howe was Patrick's friend and the godfather of one of his daughters.
Now, were the families in the fort with the soldiers?
Well, not at the time of the bombardment. They had accompanied the men when they took possession of Fort Sumter back in December. Now, Anderson is begging the government to send supplies and reinforcements. But the president, and of course this is President Buchanan, not Lincoln, because he doesn't get inaugurated until March. So Buchanan is a lame duck. He's waffling, procrastinating. But he finally did send a ship to relieve the garrison, but it was fired on by the Southerners as it entered the harbor, so it turned around and went home. Now Anderson is desperately concerned about supplies and safety, so he arranged for a ship to evacuate the women and children, including Patrick's family, and here's the report from Harper's Weekly, February 23rd. On nearing the fort, the whole garrison was seen, mounted on the top of the ramparts, and when the ship was passing, fired a gun and gave 3 heart-thrilling cheers as a parting farewell to the dear loved ones on board, whom they may possibly never meet again this side the grave.
I mean, that's a letter that could have come out of a Ken Burns film.
Absolutely.
Which is interesting, because this week, the National Archives are making their newly digitized Civil War records available online. And I guess Ken Burns, the noted filmmaker, revealed that one of his ancestors was a Confederate.
Apparently so. The records.
You think of him as such a New Englander.
Well, but many of us have relatives and ancestors in other parts of the country as well, so it's not unusual for a Yankee to discover there were Confederates in their past. Mm-hmm. Those records will be free to the public through the website Ancestry.com until next Wednesday.
General question. It wasn't so long ago when people went to the archives or a library in search of information and needed help. Now so much is available online. Does that mean you get fewer calls from the likes of us?
No, not at all. Because it takes some skill and practice to search those databases efficiently and successfully. So NPR and the world, I think, still needs librarians.
Of course. NPR's reference librarian, Key Maleski. You can read more of Key's facts on our website, npr.org. Listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.